It's a constant word in the coronavirus crisis: uncertainty. We say it, we hear it, we know it, we feel it. Thread after thread in this crisis, medical, economic, political, is bound with countless other threads across the country, around the world, and right here in Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley. Just one example: for people who struggled to pay their rent before the crisis, the financial uncertainty they now face is stark, and they are not alone. Martina Guilfoyle is president and CEO of Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise. Austin Sauerbrei is an organizer with the Chattanooga Area Labor Council and a member of the Caleb Coalition.
Austin, Martina, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We have the situation with COVID-19. We've just had the storms and the tornadoes roaring through here. We have people out of work. One of the things that takes a hit right away under any of these circumstances is the ability for people to pay their rent. What are you hearing out there in the Chattanooga area?
I can tell you specifically about Chattanooga Neighborhood Enterprise. We have a rental portfolio of about 118 units. And April 1st, about 20% of our tenants were unable to pay their rent bill. Nationally, we're hearing the numbers as high as 40%. So it's definitely a problem in terms of people being fearful, how do they pay their rent and what happens when the eviction freezes are lifted. And then, of course, for small landlords, especially Chattanooga C&E, we run on our very thin, barely profitable line because we provide affordable housing. So we have a concern in terms of long-term operations. We're not interested and we won't evict somebody because they can't pay their rent. But there are really implications and policy implications around all of this. How do you support tenants, and then how do you support landlords so that people still have a place to live?
I think it's helpful to highlight just the scale, the sheer scale of the impact. The amount of people that are having to file for unemployment at this point, there was just an article by the Times Free Press that said 1 in 9 Chattanooga area residents is applying for unemployment right now. So we know this impacts almost everyone in the city in some way, shape, or form. But then we know that in particular, there are certain sectors where folks are just getting really slammed. We know the service sector, hospitality industry, entertainment workers are more or less completely out of work for the time being. And then in addition to that, we know that this has just exacerbated existing challenges with folks who are already economically vulnerable. Folks in those sectors, I think in particular, we can't ignore the fact that this falls along racial lines too. We know that Black and Latinx communities are getting hit particularly hard. And then we know that folks in the undocumented community are getting hit particularly hard because a lot of these folks pay taxes, they work hard to help our cities run, put food on our tables, and they're not even going to be eligible for the stimulus money coming down the road. We have to keep in mind the scale of the impact and the fact that this is really exacerbating challenges for folks that were already on the knife's edge economically.
And among that, we have to include the ability to secure affordable housing, let alone be able to still make rental payment or a mortgage payment.
That's right.
Yeah, so one of the things I think that's going to be an ongoing challenge when you think about, and you know, I'm having conversations internally around short-term immediate needs, which is obviously rental assistance to tenants balanced with long-term affordability. Our long-term affordable housing needs in the community is not going to go away. And this probably highlights how we need more of it, not less of it. But funding sources are limited. And so how do you balance what you need now versus what you're going to need a year from now? And I don't think anybody has the answers, but these are some of the questions that we're talking and thinking about.
And in talking and thinking about those questions, are there ideas on the table that are being considered? Yes, this all requires funding, but we've talked about affordable housing and possible solutions before COVID-19 hit.
Mm-hmm. I think Martina can speak to this in more detail, but I think some of the things that have already taken an effect to some extent at the state level and then within the cities across the state is different forms of eviction moratoriums, where there's been a little bit of a small amount of breathing rooms where folks aren't going to be immediately put out because they can't pay rent. However, these eviction moratoriums without some direct form of rent relief coming to tenants are pretty much just pushing the problems down the road a little bit. Come May 1st, when the pauses on court proceedings are lifted, there's going to be a whole slew of eviction filings and folks really needing rent money in their hands that they don't have. And so I think one of the primary things that not only in Tennessee, but across the nation that folks are pushing for is to be able to channel money both from the federal government and the state into the hands of our cities so that we can actually implement rent relief programs to scale in an effective way.
And also making sure that rent relief does not get lost in the shuffle in providing mortgage relief.
Fortunately, on the mortgage relief side, most servicers and lenders have a forbearance or loan deferment period. And so for some, it's 90 days. For some, it's as much as a year. That provides some relief for mortgage holders. The rental side, you don't have that luxury. Some landlords are getting tenants to sign promise to pay and deferring rent and then amortizing out over a certain period of time. To me, what's really interesting about this whole COVID environment is that it really highlights the weaknesses of our system. You have an unemployment system where the phones crash and people can't get through to get their checks started. Because ultimately, with the unemployment plus the $600 a week that people will be getting for at least the next 4 months, that should help people pay their rent. The problem is that what Austin alluded to earlier, when you have people that are the most economically vulnerable and they go a month or 6 weeks without any income, they've dug such a hole that it's very difficult to unbury when money and relief does start coming in. So those are the people I think that I'm interested in trying to reach, because that's where a month of rental assistance, I think, can really help our most vulnerable families be able to stay in their homes.
It's going to be a long haul back for these people on the economic margins at the best of times. And complicating this is we don't know what's going to reopen when and where.
No, I think that that's exactly right. There's at a national level conversation about the number of businesses that are not coming back and the fact that downtowns and commercial corridors will have a lot of vacant buildings, which kind of paints a very bleak picture when you think about how long this recovery is going to take. And so what does that then mean in terms of future resource allocation and policies at a local, state, and national level to support people that through no fault of their own are out of work, and just unemployment payments, they won't be enough to pay all of your living expenses. And so I think there's going to have to be a lot of conversations to be able to figure out how do we provide for people so that everybody benefits equally with whatever this recovery effort will look like, but nobody gets left behind.
Yeah, and I think there's a danger in any case where there's any form of disaster. I think there's always a danger of whatever redevelopment does occur, to sort of Martina's point, making sure that redevelopment occurs in a way that's actually benefiting everyone, that we don't see small businesses go out of business, workers put out of work, and then what gets put in its place is businesses and commercial entities that are not actually designed to serve the most vulnerable folks in our communities.
Out of all the stories that you're hearing now, what are some that have surprised even you?
From my work with the Labor Council, just hearing from a lot of our members who are in the service industry, hospitality industry, entertainment industry, just them grappling with the fact that they've had very moderate income but stable careers, and all of a sudden that's just been flipped on its head. And I think one of the stories that I hear over and over is with the process of filing for unemployment and how that process is seems to change every day. And then when they do finally get a sense where it's like, all right, I know what I need to do. I know the steps I need to take to file for unemployment. They try to log on and the system crashes. And, you know, they're ending up spending 12 to 15 hours just to file. And I think, you know, we're hearing that a lot.
What I have found interesting is talking to some of my staff, and you just, again, you realize that there is such a disparity and folks that don't even have computers at home. So when you have to file unemployment, how do you do it? And if you don't have the ability to scan documents, how do you send in supporting documentation to file your unemployment or whatever sort of relief you're trying to get from whatever agency? So for those of us that are used to working on computers and have computers at home and we have phones and we're plugged in technologically, there's so many people in our community that don't have that. And then you just realize again that they're on the losing end of this recovery effort because they have the hardest time to be able to fit into the way that people do business nowadays. And it's not equal.
And if people listening now have questions, if they want to reach out to you, what are some ways that they can contact you?
Well, CNE has recently launched a COVID-19 website. What we're trying to do is stay on top of all of the various resources and assistance, especially around housing and information. If you have a mortgage, what you need to do. If you're a renter, where you can go for some assistance. And that's on CNE's website, cneinc.org. CNE's phone number is 423-756-6221.
With the Chattanooga Area Labor Council, we are not focused on particularly on housing issues, but we are there to try to support workers who are dealing with needing to get a protective equipment in their workplace and trying to think through how to navigate that. Folks can send an email to info@chattanoogaclc.org or visit chattanoogaclc.org webpage.
All right. Martina, Austin, thanks so much.
Appreciate
it. Thanks, Ray.